So good to see everyone here. This side is ahead of that side by about 12. No, it's not a competition where you sit. Okay. Turn my little thing on. It's good to have you here this morning. It's nice to have visitors here this morning. And those that have come back that have visited before. And that's a nice thing to have. And the gentleman with the suntan over here is back from Florida. Thursday he told me to send him something and gave me his address, so today he shows up, so when that package gets to Florida, he won't be there. No, I didn't get it sent out. I was going to send it out Monday, so it's still here. Yeah. All right. This morning, well, let me back this up. A few years ago, I was teaching an adult class, and we were talking about salvation. What does it mean to be saved? How do we know we're going to be in heaven with Jesus when we pass from this life? And we were, I thought, really well into the study, and a lady raised her hand, and she said, well, let me tell you, God and I have worked out our own little deal. And I said, what in the world is that? She said, that's just between me and God, but it's not what you're talking about. Well, at that point in time, let me know that not everybody is where we think they are as far as knowing the Word of God. So, Sunday mornings at 10:15, we are going to begin talking about what is the Bible. We're going to start letting you folks, all of us, me included, because I need to get into apologetics. And apologetics just means being able to say what you believe. I was in a church before I came here, and we were a big discussion, and one of the men that was a leader in the church said, I'm going to have to go home and study that. And I looked at him and said, what? You don't have a reason to tell any man what you believe? And he didn't. So, music continues. Yeah. So we are going to start, and we're going to start this morning by talking about leadership, because we are going to be looking for a pastor to come to First Baptist, and we have a committee that's meeting, and we're going to be sharing that, some of those things with you today as we correlate it with the Scripture. Because if we don't, we're calling and doing the wrong thing. So this morning, 10:30, join with us, and we'll be down out here around the corner, and down, just follow people, you know, and we'll put, can we do this, Brian? Can you get a really long rope and we'll just all hold it and you just pull us into the room? Would that work? That would work. Okay, we'll do that. Well, this month we've been talking about love. You know, we talked about the power of love. We talked about, I want to know what love is. We talked about ultimate love last week. So doesn't it just follow that I was thinking this week, you know, all the things that are going on. Why do people hate? What causes it? What's going on? Why in a world where we have anything we want, almost any time we want it here in America, do we find reason to hate? Why in countries all around the world are there clashes and people being killed for certain causes? Why is there hate? And you'll say, well, Pastor, there's always been hate. Remember Cain and Abel, Pastor? You know? Started, didn't it? It started then. And we're going to be talking about this morning. I want everybody, please, to stand with me. Stand with me. There you go. All right, follow the. And then I'd like you to turn to Esther and say, good morning, Esther. Good morning, Esther. No, I'm just kidding. I want you to turn to the book of Esther. Turn to the book of Esther in chapter 3. Turn to the book of Esther. Well, that's old Mordecai and Haman there. We'll talk about them in a minute. There we go. We're going to begin reading. And if I continue to read and get past the slide, I'm old, aren't I? Slide. The PowerPoint that goes to the next verse, just read along in your Bible with me. We're in Esther, chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, and it says this. Then Haman said to King Azarias, that we know was Xerxes if we've studied your old history, that was King Xerxes. There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people. It is in all the provinces in your kingdom. Their laws are different from our laws, and they are of every people, and they do not keep the king's laws. So that if it is not the king's, it is not to the king's profit to tolerate them. If it pleased the king, wish I had more light here. We have more light here, Brian. Oh my word! If it pleased the king, it says, where am I? Yeah, in verse 9. Let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who have charge of the king's business. Let's just stop there for this morning as we begin to look at this and study this. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your love. We thank you that we can see Jesus through it, and Jesus can be exemplified in our lives through if we live his love. But this morning, as we look at this subject, Father, we pray that you would be with us, give us guidance, and let your Spirit lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And you say, well, this is a pretty horrific passage, Pastor, that we're looking at this morning. And we're going to see that what happened was in the kingdom, you know, there this Haman guy got to be in power. And power is either a really wonderful thing, or it's a thing that can destroy people themselves along with the people around them. And Haman had this, you know, let's do this. While I am in this position, when I'm around, I want everybody to bow to me. This is old Mordecai here. We're going to be talking about Mordecai next month a little bit. But that's Mordecai, and everyone's bowing. You see, he's not. Because he said, I only bow before my God. And so if you're looking at your little yellow sheet or blue sheet, whichever one you had, have there, Haman hated the Jews because of Mordecai. And then why did he hate them? We've talked about that, because Mordecai would not bow down. Because of his hatred of one man, he wanted the whole nation to be annihilated. Let's look at this a little bit closer as we look at that scripture. We see he went to the king and he said to the king, he said, these people are, number one, they're all among us. You know, they're everywhere. You know, so that's a bad thing. They're not like us, and they're everywhere among us. And he says, you know what? They're different than us. Their customs are different. Their dress was different. You know, the way they worshiped was different. Ooh. Then he said, they do not obey the king's laws. Well, actually, they did. This was a lie. And what do lies do? Lies breed hatred, and hatred breeds destruction. And the last thing, you know, we should not have to tolerate them. Should not have to tolerate them. We don't, they're just messing. Let's take care of it. As a matter of fact, I'll pay to have them annihilated. Wow. What a passage. And you know, as I was thinking about that, and I remember back a few years ago, Sandy and I were trapped where we could not remember if it's when we lived in Florida or we were back there visiting. But it was a rainy day, not a rainy night in Georgia, but a rainy day in Florida. Oh, okay. And we saw a sign that said the Holocaust Museum in Naples. And if you've ever had a chance to go there, have you been there? Yeah. If you've had it's very eye-opening, and Sandy and I said, well, you know, it's raining. Let's go in. We went in. We were met by the sweetest little Jewish lady. You know, she was 3'4" and about. You know, she's a tiny little lady. And she said, let me show you. Let me be your personal guide today. And we all know those things, but when you see the pictures and you read the accounts that they're there on the wall of what happened to that people, the Jewish people. That's the picture of the wall where people were stood before it and were shot. Millions of little bullet holes on that wall. I saw a picture of the boxcar. You know, they would tell the people, you know, we're going to send you in a train to a place to get you out of here, and it's going to be okay. And then they would pull up with these boxcars, and hundreds of people in a car, more than they could just barely stand. And they put them in there, and they filled it up, and then they would shut the door and send them to the many, many camps throughout the country. They told them this. They said, you know, take your luggage, whitewash it, put your name on with whitewash, because we're going to send you to the showers to clean up and delouse. And when you're done, you'll need to know what luggage is yours. And so they would whitewash their name on their luggage, of course, never to come out to reclaim it. Because they would go into the showers, and there were shower heads, but there was no plumbing going to those shower heads. Instead, there were holes in the ceiling where the SS would drop poisonous pellets, and they would hit the ground and disperse and kill everyone in there, and then the bodies would be taken out and put into the crematoriums. There were rooms just full of eyeglasses. Oh, millions. Shoes. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. There are some who say, oh, hold it, Pastor. We're past all of that kind of hate now. Remember the 60s? I was there. Some of you weren't. Some of you were. You know, when you held hands and you danced around a campfire and kumbaya and somebody rowed. Who rowed the boat ashore? One guy rowed the boat ashore. You know, we did all of that. And so we thought, well, we're past that, aren't we? We don't have that type of hate anymore. Oh, my, I wish that was true. Oh, I wish that was true. I wish that I could stand up here today and say, well, there's so much love in the world that our job as Christians is so simple now. We just have to, I'm so glad that we have visitors here and folks invited folks today. We just have to tell people that Jesus loves them. They'll fall down, ask God to forgive them of their sins, and confess Jesus, and we'll all be going to heaven. No, we still hate. Just thinking about why we hate. Let me see what I have here. Oh, some of the reasons we hate. I'm going to go back a little bit. Play like I didn't put that up there, okay? Play like that's gone. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it gone. I don't want to go there yet. I want to talk a little bit before I do that about what causes animosity around us. You know, and somebody will say, you know what? What the big problem is in America is racial animosity, those of other races. What's our answer? There's only one race. God created it, Adam and Eve, then Noah, and everybody came from there. There wasn't any other race created. There are people groups. But we find reasons, don't we, to hate people. I remember hearing stories when I grew up. My grandfather was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He was. But in that day, in the early, late 1800s and early 1900s, they were putting up crosses in yards of Catholics. They hated Catholics. You know, it wasn't a skin color. It wasn't another country that somebody came from. It was the belief system. I remember hearing stories of those when the railroad was being built all the way across America, and the Chinese were brought in, and the things that were done to the Chinese people. Oh, we hated them, but we used them. And I think as many of us growing up, we heard stories about different people groups and why we didn't, maybe why we were better than they were. And that caused some hate in our country. And those of us that grew up in the 60s realized that. Sometimes it's not racial. Sometimes it's political. I hate you because of, You know, there's Democrats and there are Republicans, and, you know, I just wish we would just be America, you know, but we don't, because we find those differences, and then we have those things that cause animosity, which builds into hate, which builds into destruction. Oh, Christian denominations. Oh, isn't that sweet? We don't like. And we can sit here and say, why we don't like certain Christian. You know what? If a denomination, we'll maybe name some later, believes this, watch this real carefully, Jesus came, Son of God, incarnate, lived a sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, and his blood covered my sins, rose again by the power of God, and ascended into heaven, my Savior. Anybody believes that, they're my buddy. I don't care if it says Methodist, if it says, you know, what it says on the door, they're part of me. But we find reasons, don't we, because of that. Well, you know what? They might think that, but they do this. Yeah, we do this. I've had that opportunity to have Bible studies with Catholic people. Oh my, Catholic people, don't they pray to Mary? Not all of them. You know what? They knew Jesus Christ as their Savior. Have really neat fellowship with this Presbyterian guy. What's his name? Justin. About once a week we have coffee. But we have allowed sometimes animosity to build because of our, even among Christian denominations. Now I got to back up and let you know that I don't have anything, not one thing that I can think of in common with a Muslim religiously. But that does not give me the right to dishonor that person or disrespect them as an individual. Okay, Christian denomination. Oh, my, let's see. Oh, I was going to tell you the story. I happened to know somebody that was working with the Billy Graham Association, and they were going into town setting up those big crusades that many of us attended. And a pastor came to him and said, boy, he said, this is really great. He said, I bet every pastor in our town is here. It's part of this, right? And the guy said, are you kidding me? He said, the most we ever have is 38% pastors that come and be part of us. And they say, we're not part of Graham. Graham has done this. And I was in a church that did that. You know, to my chagrin, the church that said, oh, you know what happened? He had or he did. And so there. Okay, well, let's move on. Oh, man. Families. Oh, families? Animosity? Remember Joseph? Him and his brother. Oh, he had great brothers, didn't he? My family had only boys. I've told you that before. But he had these brothers that were so cool, they took him on a trip with him and dropped him in a hole. Then they sold him, you know? Caused a little bit of maybe animosity if I had been Joseph, you know? What'd Joseph say? Hey, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know, no animosity. I would have been a little angry, you know, when I finally got out of that hole. Oh, how about this one, folks? Animosity because of sexual orientation. Oh, they're gay. They're bi. They're whatever they are. I don't know all. There are so many things now. Oh, we pastored in Clayton, Michigan a couple times. We were pastoring one day, and after the church said, one of the members of the board came up to me and said, Pastor, what do you want me to do about that? I didn't know what that was. He hadn't told me yet. I said, what? He said, there were two lesbians in the back sitting together. I said, oh, yeah, I gave him a hug afterwards and invited him back next Sunday. Huh? You did what? To who? Why? What, who, and why? Yeah? And I said, because Jesus loves them, man. Let's show love to them. Let's see if we can win them to Christ. Whoa. Another time, I'm in my study and I get a call. No, I don't get a call. He came into the office and he said, you got to stop it. I love it when people tell me something that I don't know what they're talking about. You have to stop it. I couldn't really think, what would that be? I needed to stop eating so much. That could have been it. You know, I said, what is it, Jerry? He said, you're having that Bible study on Tuesday. I said, yeah, that's pretty wicked of me, having a Bible study on Tuesday. He said, no, you're having a Bible study with gay people in St. Joe, Michigan on Tuesday morning at the coffee shop. Everybody can see you. Isn't that awful? I said, boy, next time I go, I'm going to wear a mask. Well, too bad it's not COVID. I could have been wearing a mask. They wouldn't have known who I was. You know, I said, what are you talking about? He said, don't you know those? And he called them another word, but he's talking about gay people. And I said, yeah, I know they are. And I know they're living in sin. And I know there's things in my life that are sin. I said, I just want to be able to show them what Jesus said about his love for them. But we don't sometimes. We hate. We have animosity toward those folks. Whew. Did you ever stop to realize that every individual you see, no matter where you see them, no matter where you are, every individual we see is handcrafted by God? And we can't love them? Boy, you say, Pastor, you're being kind of brutal to us this morning. We love everybody. You know, that's good. I'm so glad that you said that kind of under your breath. Mentally, it was a mental telepathy thing. I got that from you. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes we go as far as just to hate the person that cut us off in traffic. Get to all these four-way stops in Freeport need to be changed. Roundabouts. I say we put roundabouts in all of them. You get to the stop, you're the first one there, you get ready to go, and this guy goes, or starts to go. He sees you're going, he stops, so that guy starts. And then you go, boy, by the time you're through that intersection, am I upset with those people? Easy. I mean, isn't it easy to have animosity? Not full-blown hate, but animosity, I kind of take as a step before that full-blown hate. It's easy for us, isn't it? And so this morning, in a few moments, we're going to look at some scripture that's going to help us to understand we don't have to be there. We as believers can say, you know what, I am free from that because. But let's go here just real quickly to these last four. All right. Then there was hatred. Fear causes hatred, doesn't it? Cultural fear. I don't understand them, so maybe I'm a little afraid of them. And then because of that fear, I maybe then not like them. Then I may have some animosity toward them. Then I might hate them. Ooh, I don't want them. I don't even want them here. You know? Because of their culture, their belief system, maybe the color of their skin, maybe their vocabulary. You know, maybe the way where'd they come from? Why don't they talk like us English people? I was watching an English movie the other day, and I asked Sandy, why can't those people speak English? You know, and so we have that. We have our own inadequacies sometimes can cause us to have fear, and that fear can lead to hatred. Boy, you know, I remember a lot of athletes when I was growing up. And I grew up in a vanilla town. I did. It was just so vanilla, you know, with a cherry on top. We were that kind of city. And we went to track meets, and there would be some black men there that could just run the socks off me. I'd never been beaten in a 100-yard dash or the 200-yard dash all my year, and I come up next to a guy, and I forgot his name. I was going to try to remember his name because we became friends. He was from South Haven, Michigan, and he was only about this tall. Remember what his name was, Sandy, the athlete? No, you don't. And we got lined up in the blocks, and I looked at him at the 100, and I got, you guys did, he didn't, you didn't run the 100, yeah, Dad. This was 100 years ago, remember that. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, on your mark, you know, the gun goes up, pow. How did he get there that fast? But there were some people that during that time then that began to have animosity up against those folks. Well, this, you know, and so that maybe instilled some of that hatred that we had during the 60s. our own inadequacies. You know, past grievances can cause us to hate. It might not even be a past grievance between you and I, but you had a past grievance about somebody, you know, about something that I, like I said, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that person. I hate that. Last one is, we've been taught to hate. Whoa, some of us grew up like that, unfortunately. Many of you didn't. I'm so happy for that. I did not. I do not remember my father ever saying anything about any other group of people negatively while I was growing up. And I grew up in the, like I said, the 60s. We had, and I don't know how many folks here are Polish, but we had Polish jokes. Did you hear about the, you know? And that was a big down. I mean, my dad didn't do that. You know, we had those people that were talking about other groups and other things that were going on. My dad didn't. I wasn't taught that. But I was around people in school and in college that were. And it caused hatred. The ministry of Jesus. Jesus tells us how to do it, doesn't he? Jesus met all kinds of people while he was on earth. He traveled so far. He had those sandals just wore out. And he said, first, a woman at the well. Oh, how about that? Woman of ill repute. She wasn't a good woman. She was a Samaritan. She came to the well when that people didn't usually come. She questioned Jesus. I've questioned Jesus. What did Jesus say? Hey, I'm here to give you what I have. Water of life. Me, she said? You don't know me. Yeah, you. No, everybody else from your country hates us over here. You're on the border here of Samaria, in Samaria. You're right on that border. You shouldn't even probably be here. I'm going to give it to you. Eternal life. Isn't that cool? Thief on the cross? Oh, my. Do we hate people like that? He's being punished for what he did. Better be punished. Yeah. Boy, if, you know, he hasn't done anything. What we've done. You today will be with me in paradise. What would we Baptists say? Come on, be honest. What would Baptists say in a situation like this? You want to accept Jesus? Well, first you need to get off that cross. Come to membership classes. Then we want you to take communion. We'll baptize you. And then, what'd Jesus say today? Today. No religious rigmarole, no nothing else except you know who I am and accepted him. Oh, soldiers that came into the garden. All of us know what happened in Canada, don't we? The pastor was taken to prison for doing what the Bible tells him to do, in my opinion. Okay. What did he do? He did what Jesus did. He didn't resist. He went. Boy, Jesus, if he had not known, and Jesus knew. I mean, I can't go back and say Jesus could have. He couldn't have because the plan had been in place since before the foundations of the earth, what would happen. But just imagine we were there. They were coming for us, and we had the ability to call down a legion of angels to protect us with fiery swords. Well, that's fiery swords are scary. Swords are scary, but fiery swords, whoa. We'd do it, wouldn't we? Okay, bring them down. Okay, we'll see you. We weren't really going to arrest you. He didn't, did he? Peter ripped off that ear. Jesus picked it up, put it back, put it on. Love. Okay. Oh, the people group that shouted, crucify him. Yeah, I bet he hated them. Why? Well, they'd been saying, oh, we love you, Jesus. You healed my arm. My arm was paralytic, and you healed it. Oh, I love you. Crucify him. So they changed, just like that. Why? Because they didn't really know him. Boy, I think he had the right to hate them, don't you? Oh, boy. What are you, traitors? You know, turncoats, whatever you want to call them? There they were doing that. He was there, and that mob was saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Ever intensifying, ever, you know, the crescendo of that going on and on. Now, No hate. Well, you're going to tell me, well, that was Jesus. That's not us. I'm certainly not Jesus. Me either. But you know what? Christ lives in me. And if I find any area of hate in my life relating to any of these areas, I need to surrender that to God and say, forgive me. I cannot hate who you loved. I cannot hate who you handcrafted for yourself. I can't do that. A couple verses on the other side. We're just going to go over these really quickly. I'm doing pretty good. Luke 8, 27 to 28 says this. Let me get to the, put this up. We'll get to that verse in a moment. Luke 6, 27 to 28. But I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Is any area left uncovered there of what anybody could do to you to cause you to not like them, to hate them? If they do good to those who hate you, to those that curse you, to those who mistreat you. You know, we can all think of little areas and big areas where those things happen to us in our life, and we need to say, you know what? What's the Bible say? But I say to you, this is Jesus, love them. Love them. Matthew 5, 43 to 44 says this, but you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Romans 12, 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Oh, let's skip that one, okay? Because don't we get accused of hypocrisy a lot? I mean, oh, I'd love to go to that church, but there are too many hypocrites there, and I will not do that. And I always say something back like, well, I'm not going to bank at that bank. There's a hypocrite in there, and I'll take all my money out tomorrow. And I say, what? You're $34? They'll miss it. They'll go under. You know, but it says love without hypocrisy. And I see that all the time, and you do too. The rest of that verse, of course, is abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. But I go down to the coffee shop, and there's a group of guys there that aren't believers. And the other day it happened, one of the guys was talking about one of the other men that come to coffee and just ripping him, you know, digging a big hole to throw him in. And that guy walks through the door to come have coffee with us. The funniest thing you've ever seen in your life. Boy, he stopped. The guy got a cup of coffee. Hey, I don't remember his name. I'll just say, hey, John, how are you? Come over here. I got a seat for you. And what? Wow, talk about hypocrisy. I was just ready to say, you know what? Hey, John, tell him what you just said. You know, but I didn't. I was going to do that. But hypocrisy in love. You know, and we have that in business a lot. You know, people that we call it the smooching up, or just buttering somebody up. You know, a lot of the hypocrisy. We have it in churches, unfortunately. Oh, so glad to see you here today. Just don't sit by me. I don't want to sit by that person. You know, we do that. You know, isn't your chair over there? Matthew 24:10 said this, at that time many will fade away, will fall away, and will betray one another and hate one another. This is talking about the end times when things are going to get rough, and guess what's going to happen? Some of those people that have been coming and singing, oh, how I love Jesus, are going to say, boy, oh, I hate all you churchgoers, and I'm going to come with you, with whoever comes to get you and get you. They're going to fall away. Kind of a type of hypocrisy, isn't it? Galatians 5, 19 to 20. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. We see them, don't we? We see them. We know how we are because we see it. We hear it. You know, people tell us about you, especially if you do something bad. People run to the pastor and tell me, oh, do you know what so-and-so did? You know what? One time I was preaching, and I used an illustration of seeing someone from the church coming out of a liquor store, convenience store, liquor store. And I said, and I was using the illustration to show that I didn't know why they were there, you know, probably not to buy liquor, but to buy something from the convenience store. Three people after church came up to me and confessed why they were in the liquor store. You know, I didn't really see anyone. It was just an illustration. You know, but we have here that now the deeds that we of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions coming apart. And these are all things that are what? Part of hate. And we know this, and these are the deeds of the flesh. And guess what, folks? We're still fighting the flesh. And so when we do that, we need to take it to the Lord. 1 John 2, we'll end with this. The one who says he is the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hatred blinds. Hatred blinds. Hatred keeps us from shedding the light and keeps us from, it allows us to stumble. Like I stated when we very first began to talk this morning, if there's hatred, there's usually a lie. And where there's a lie or false accusation, then there becomes destruction. So this morning, after the whole month we talked about love and God's love and how wonderful it is, guess what? Love from God is more powerful than the evil that's within our flesh. How about, good news, everybody should have shouted amen. Nevin, you're back. I was waiting for that one, but thank you, Nevin. Yeah. But we have, and so we're not to go out of here this morning discouraged. Oh, hatred's there. I can't, what am I? No. In all of this, we are more than victors through Jesus Christ. I don't have to hate anyone. If I do, it's because I'm allowing my flesh to rule. Oh, my. And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundant. And guess what? People that hate don't have abundant life. Those that can put that aside and live through Jesus have a life that is so abundant, so full of rejoicing, so full of love that, oh man, I'm so happy. You don't understand because many of you have not stood up here. And if you stood here 7 months ago there, 7 months ago, and we counted a few people here. And you say, well, Pastor, there's not very many here today. Can I tell you a little secret? We doubled that, I think, today. Yeah, about, amen, yeah. And through God's grace and God's love, what we, as a committee said 2 weeks ago that we shared with you, that we believe God will revive First Baptist Church can happen. But we need to put away all animosity and all hatred that comes from fear. And know that Jesus Christ can lead us. And be because he's our Savior, wants only good for us. Ladies, are we singing one more song? Would you come and lead us one verse, two verses? One verse. Okay, when the ladies come, as they get in, would you stand with them? And then as they finish singing, we'll close with a benediction.
Is a drop it was
thank you so much for being here today. We are, we think, double recording, we hope, to get this out. Last week, 106 people saw the part of the service that we attempted to. The sound wasn't good, but the picture was even worse because it was me. But so we pray and pray with us that God will continue to work with us as we put that equipment together and are able to get that live streaming out to those folks that can't make it here. I'm going to close today with a benediction that Paul uses in Romans chapter 15 and verses in verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And all of God's people said, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you so much for being here.